You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. How about a scorecard of sorts with which to begin today? A tally, if you will, of where things stand in this economy long about the fourth week of August.
So the economy is in a very good place, not quite back to the pre-pandemic level, but we're close.
All right, that's good. Economist Ioana Marinescu is at the University of Pennsylvania's School of Social Policy and Practice, and she speaks there of this morning's revised report on economic growth. GDP is the indicator with which you will be familiar. It ticked up to 6.6% for the second quarter, annualized, of course. However,
So the growth cannot continue, not at the 6.5%, because it was coming from the fact that there was a big growth deficit. We were coming from really low. And so a lot of the growth is catch up. And when there's catch up, it can't go on.
Also, and not for nothing, we got first-time claims for unemployment benefits today. They went up just a bit, 353,000. Still really low, though, compared to where we were. But this, Professor Marinescu points out, is where the virus is still kind of in charge of this economy.
The uncertainty associated with Delta is going to put a damper on employers' willingness to add more workers. If we think about places like restaurants, people might be less willing to go out, and that then lowers business and lowers hiring.
The August monthly unemployment report comes out a week from tomorrow. Remember, though, it is a lagging indicator. Ioana Marinescu at the University of Pennsylvania. They're giving Mitchell Hartman a day off from the Marketplace desk of Economic Peril. We will hear from Mitchell later, though. Come tomorrow, it's consumer spending data from the Commerce Department, but a couple of earnings reports out this week, Dick's Sporting Goods and Best Buy among them, showed how the pandemic has been good for a lot of retailers who've capitalized on consumer preferences for more efficient, that is to say, easier for them ways of shopping. Things like shipping direct from the store or curbside pickup. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has that one.
When Christine Donnelly first decided to try curbside pickup in the D.C. area during the pandemic, the idea felt a little cringy, you know, like sending a personal shopper off to do her bidding while she waited in the car looking at her phone.
Jeez, I hope I don't come off like some privileged queen.
But before too long, she was using the service to pick up craft supplies at Michael's, Tupperware organizers from the Container Store. She even did a curbside return of shoes at Nordstrom.
I am a person who does not like to shop in the store. So for me, it was a great option.
She hopes stores will continue to offer it after the pandemic. And there's reason to think they will, says retail consultant Joel Rampolt at Alex Partners.
Curbside pickup is a great win because the retailer doesn't have to deliver all the way to the consumer's home.
And it allows retailers to multitask with brick and mortar spaces and employees, says Chelsea Gross, an analyst with Gartner.
It's most efficient to leverage your physical stores. They can actually manage both the online orders from the fulfillment center as well as the in-store shop with kind of this endless supply.
Plus, the convenience for customers makes curbside competitive with traditional e-commerce, says Forrester analyst Sucharita Kadali.
I think what they've discovered is that they've actually brought share back from companies like Amazon because the customer experience is actually delightful when, you know, you can just drive up to a store, they bring whatever you want out, and you get it super fast.
That, of course, assumes curbside purchases are substituting for online deliveries rather than in-store shopping, which is the most cost-efficient since customers pick their own products and deliver them home. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.